China's economy grows at its slowest pace in 12 months. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Fresh figures out of China today show the world's second biggest economy grew by just under 5% between July and September from a year ago. That's as its recovery from the coronavirus pandemic continues to lose momentum. A spokesman for the National Bureau of Statistics acknowledged today economic difficulties at home and abroad and said the recovery is still unstable and uneven. A number of factors have put a drag on growth, including an energy crisis, soaring prices of raw materials, and a slump in the nation's property sector. Mark Williams is Capital Economics' chief Asia economist. He told me what today's figures might suggest about China's longer-term economic prospects.
Some of the things that have weakened growth are temporary. There was a big outbreak of the Delta variant in August, for example, which authorities responded to with some quite severe lockdown measures. Those have already gone away. But on top of that, there's a lot of problems with power shortages, and there's all of the problems with the property sector, which is not going to go away and faces a very difficult few years ahead.
And let's just dive into that a little bit here. How is the property sector problems affecting economic growth overall? Because, as you say, we've seen lots of regulatory pressure on a number of industries, and the giant in the property sector, Evergrande, is teetering on the edge of default this week. So how big of a concern is that?
Well, Evergrande, I mean, it looks very likely to run out of road very, very quickly. That shouldn't necessarily be a major problem for the rest of the economy. But if we step back, China has been through essentially a 25-year property boom that is really running out of steam. And we have a lot of property developers that have borrowed money on the expectation that they'll be able to sell a lot more property in future. But if we just look at the demographics, the population is about to be falling. Urbanization has slowed dramatically. There's just less demand. Different people have come up with different measures of how important the property sector has been, but it's in the region of 15 to 30%.
Is there anything policymakers can do at this point to try to alleviate some of those problems?
Well, the initial problem for a lot of Chinese firms is power shortages. Policymakers in Beijing have been instructing coal miners to increase output. That can certainly help at the margin, but it's probably not going to make a huge lasting difference overall. A lot of the problem in many sectors we're seeing, like chip manufacturing, auto production, is simply that a lot of production is right at the capacity. So some of these problems can't be solved in the short term. It will either be solved by demand from the world dropping back or having to wait until more investment leads to more production capacity.
Mark Williams from Capital Economics, thanks for breaking this down for us this morning.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now, the Shanghai Composite Index ticked down 0.1% on the heels of that economic data. European stocks, meanwhile, are down in the wide range of 0.1% to 0.7%. Well, in recent years, Facebook has faced a number of scandals, including accusations of failing to stop Russian interference during the 2016 U.S. presidential election and being slow to respond to disinformation about the coronavirus pandemic on its platform. The social giant is facing increased regulatory pressure from governments around the world, but executives are working on new ways to continue growing the company. They've announced a 5-year plan to hire thousands of new employees in Europe who will be focused on developing a virtual world called the Metaverse. The BBC's Will Bain has that story.
The Metaverse sounds quite the place. According to Facebook, it's a virtual world where people will be gaming, working and communicating, all via virtual reality headsets. This futuristic space will take a lot of building, and the company has announced it will hire 10,000 staff in the European Union to make it a reality. The company said the Metaverse has the potential to help unlock access to new creative and social and economic opportunities, and Europeans will be shaping it from the start. But skeptics have argued it's a diversionary tactic at a time when Facebook is increasingly in the sights of regulators, particularly in the EU. In London, I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
By now, a lot of us do, I think, a fair amount of our shopping online, and you may have noticed a slew of companies offering options to buy now and put off making payments for, say, 30 days interest-free. Regulators, though, are becoming increasingly concerned about such schemes. The UK's financial watchdog warned of, quote, significant potential for consumer harm, and the government here has now promised to increase regulation around those buy now, pay later schemes. One company offering such payment plans in 11 countries, including the US, is Klarna. The company's boss, Sebastian Siemiatkowski, today, though, defended his business model.
In general, we would say that we see a lift, you know, about 20% in conversion rate and about 40% in average order value. But it's important to remember to that merchants know credit cards have always provided a lift, but they've done so by inflicting a lot of harm on consumers who have been asked to revolve at up to 56% interest rate. So I think a lot of merchants are really happy that they can provide consumers an alternative.
Still, though, with expectations for more regulation, Mr. Simiatkowski said Klarna is already making changes to how it offers consumers credit.
We're actually going to use open banking and the open banking regulation to allow us to underwrite customers in real time. Because if you think about, like, you go and apply for a credit card today, they actually will do a credit check from a credit bureau. But most of that data is quite ancient. And when you ask consumers about data, their income and so forth, that's also not always going to be accurate. Unfortunately, not consumers will always give you the right answers. What we've started doing is in real time, consumers can give us access to their bank accounts and we can understand the exact transactions, their exact income and so forth based on the actual real time data and protect consumers from overextending on credit.
That's Sebastian Simiatkowski there from Klarna. Finally, I've been off for the past 2 weeks enjoying life as a newlywed, and with lots of family and friends in town, that means I have not had time for much TV show viewing, but millions of people around the world have been devouring the Netflix hit Squid Game. According to company figures that have been seen by Bloomberg, the South Korean drama is now worth nearly $900 million for the streaming giant. And here's a mind-blowing stat. Viewers have so far reportedly watched 1.4 billion hours of the show. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.